Hey, it's me, Michelangelo, the Ninja Turtle. You guys know I love pizza, so I was wondering, like, what's your favorite pizza chain? Being from New York, you know I love Sbarro's. Love to hear what you guys think. Cowabunga!
Everybody loves pizza, bread, cheese, sauce, and your mix of toppings. As a kid, we were regularly bribed with pizza parties that consisted of cold delivery pizza and a Dixie cup of lemonade. One of my core memories in middle school involved ordering pizza on a Friday night from Domino's because they didn't have a delivery fee. And of course, I'm from Columbus, Ohio, so we'd have one night for pizza and another night for Donato's pizza every week. In college and into adulthood, I started trying different independent places. Catfish Biff's, Hound Dog's, Tommy's, and Adriatico's. I had slices in New York, Los Angeles, and every city that I traveled to. Not that I've really traveled that much. Still, the best pizza I ever had was Memorial Day weekend 2003. I remember the year because my family was using plane tickets that we'd gotten refunded after planning a trip to New York the weekend the war in Iraq started. But this pizza wasn't from New York. It was from Pizzeria Due in Chicago. It's always been odd to me how everyone has an opinion about how pizza should be. And by everyone, I mostly mean people from New York. I love a Chicago-style deep dish, a tavern-cut thin crust from down the street, a giant folded slice of New York pizza, or anything authentic or inauthentic. Anything but that Appalachian pizza where they put the cold cheese on top. That's my wife's favorite kind. Anyway, welcome to Hold the Mustard. Today we're talking about pizza with Greg Shaw, a friend of mine who's going to share some tips about making pizza at home. Hey everyone, I'm here with Mr. Greg Shaw.
How's it going, Kendall?
It's
everybody else?
It's going well. We are here to talk about pizza. On the Slack channel that I'm on, that we're both on, you like to post pictures of pizza that you make, and I've failed pretty miserably every time I tried to make pizza, so I figured you could come on and give some advice. So first of all, let's just get through the like required pizza discussion topics.
Okay.
What is your favorite pizza chain?
Oh, favorite pizza chain. I wasn't expecting that. I am a sucker for Domino's every once in a while.
Okay.
And pizza purists will argue with you that Domino's is crap. And they're not wrong, but sometimes you get a craving for Domino's, uh-huh. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if Domino's is going to scratch the itch that I have, I'm going to order Domino's.
Right.
So I would say if I had to pick a chain, it's probably Domino's.
Okay. Do you have strong opinions on pineapple on pizza?
I don't. I try not to gatekeep pizza toppings because I feel like everybody is entitled to their own pizza topping beliefs. I have tried it. I will from time to time. I guess I won't order it, but if somebody else orders it, mm-hmm. then I'm not opposed to having a slice of it. I think, you know, salty, sweet, it's right, not a bad combination right. in most things.
Yeah.
I don't have any strong opinions against it.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same way. I usually don't order it for myself, but my wife likes a ham and pineapple pizza.
Okay.
I also will, if I have a cold, I'll get pineapple and jalapeno.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
As long as it's a place that uses fresh jalapenos. I don't like pickled jalapenos.
You want pickled?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to try that. I like that idea.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned it from the Hispanic coworkers when I worked at Pizza Hut briefly in 2007 okay. or 2000. Yeah. 2007. Yeah. That was a long time ago. But they did it. And I'm like, yeah, it's the sweet and spicy. And then also if you have a cold, you want some spicy stuff. Do you have opinions about Chicago style pizza or other regional pizzas?
It's funny that you bring up Chicago style because last month we were, my family was in Atlanta of all places, and there was a bar that offered Chicago style thin crust, which I know is a style because of my foray into all things pizza over the last couple of years. So we ordered it at the bar and it was pretty good. Chicago thin crust is like cracker thin crust.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually cut like, you know, a square cut, like bar, mm-hmm. bar style cut. And so I brought that up and mentioned it to a couple of other people. And they were like, isn't Chicago, don't they do deep dish? Isn't that kind of the opposite of Chicago style? So it's funny that you mentioned that, because that has been a topic of discussion lately. I like, similar to the pineapple on pizza, I don't have any strong feelings against it. Mm-hmm. I don't, if somebody said, do you want to get a pizza? And I said, yeah, I'll take a plain pizza. And then they just brought me a Chicago style deep dish pizza without any other context, I'd probably be a little upset. Mm-hmm. I want to know what I'm getting into.
Okay.
But I do appreciate it for what it is. When I like pizza and think of pizza, I want something where I can eat like two or three or four slices and eat a lot of it and still feel good about myself. And if you try to eat like four slices of a Chicago style deep dish pizza, you'll probably die.
Right.
So that's, I don't know. I need to be prepared. I need somebody to tell me that that's the kind of pizza we're going for.
Uh-huh.
So there's no surprises. I've had it a couple times. I have enjoyed it, but it wouldn't be my go-to at all. I prefer a thinner crust style of pizza in most cases.
Yeah. I mean, I said this in, I do an opening monologue on the show and I still think that the best pizza I ever had was Pizzeria Due in Chicago. The first time I had a proper Chicago style deep dish. And then for like probably more than a decade after that, like you just can't get that style pizza outside of Chicago, or you couldn't.
Right.
Now some of the famous restaurants have expanded and you can get them. There's a Giordano's in Columbus now. But those,
okay.
The problem is, I think the thing is that when I had the first couple times I had Chicago style pizza, I had the best Chicago style pizza in the world.
Right. And then you're always chasing that, right?
Yeah, exactly,
you're like, you should have started with the lower quality stuff and worked your way up.
Now, there was a period when I was in high school when DiGiorno made a Chicago style deep dish pizza that was actually really good.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't shy away from frozen pizzas either. There's like a local generic brand, like Signature Select, that my Acme, Albertson's branded grocery chain sells. And sometimes they go on sale. They're like 4 for $10 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll pick up a couple of them. I mean, it's nice to have a frozen pizza where you can just like crush the whole thing and not feel bad about it.
Well, and it's nice to have a frozen pizza in your freezer for when you don't want to cook and you don't want to go out and you don't want to wait unfortunately in my experience, unfortunately, this has been true for a long time, frozen pizza is almost as expensive as delivery pizza, you know. So
yeah, I wait for the sales for that kind of stuff and then I'll stock up. I do have to work in an addendum here to my initial answer to your question about chains. I forgot about Uno Pizzeria.
Okay.
Uno has started to make Detroit style pizzas, which is, if I'm going to go with a thicker crust, I do really like Detroit style. And Uno, which is a chain, I think they're nationwide, right?
They're originally from Chicago.
Their Chicago style is what they started as, right? I don't know if they do much Chicago style pizza anymore. Maybe they do. I don't know. But they make Detroit style, and I've had it a couple times because there is an Uno maybe 10 minutes from where I live, and I actually really like it. I think they do a good job with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pizzeria Due is actually owned by the same people as the Uno's chain, because their first their first pizzeria was called Pizzeria Uno, and then their second one was Pizzeria Due, which I guess means two in Italian.
I'm following now.
Yeah, they don't have they closed the Pizzeria Uno in Columbus, so
okay.
it was one of those restaurants that like I didn't go to very often. Like maybe I went like once a year or once every other year. But now that it's not there, I'm like every week I'm like, man, I wish I could go to a pizzeria.
Yeah, you got the cravings. Yeah, I hadn't gone there very much either. And then they started doing a monthly trivia night. So I'd go there with friends and we realized that their beer offerings were really good. They always had a nice selection of beer and some of the food was actually pretty good. So, you know, for a chain. Mm-hmm. And I do still make it back there every, I don't know, once every couple of months. They do actually have a really good Black Friday where they do like a tap takeover with different breweries.
Cool.
So I've been there a couple times. I like their Detroit style pizza. Got to give them a shout out.
My sister recently moved to Detroit or in the last couple of years. And my parents sent me a text message. They're like, we got real Detroit style pizza. And it was sent me a picture of a Jets box.
Oh, I saw a Jets. Where did I see a Jets? Wasn't that at the convention center?
Yeah.
And okay. Yeah. I remember seeing that. And I remember hearing some jokes from the locals about Jets. Jets is a chain that's not authentic Detroit style, right?
Well, I think it is technically. I mean, it is technically.
Authentic.
I mean, it's a thick crust, and it's got the squares, and I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I think,
but it's probably authentic in the way that if I were to get a Domino's. You know, Brooklyn style pizza. Right. I could consider that authentic Brooklyn style pizza.
Yeah. It's hard. Yeah. Stuff like, you know, and I don't even know how authentic, like how real Detroit style is as far as a pizza. Like I had never heard of it until a few years ago, you know, but I don't know.
Have you tried it yet?
I mean, I've had a frozen pizza that said it was Detroit style, certainly, and I've had Jets.
I think you should add that to your list of things to accomplish is having a real Detroit style. I shouldn't really talk too much. I haven't had an actual authentic Detroit style pizza from Detroit, but there are a couple places locally that make really good ones. Mm-hmm. And it quickly became one of my favorite styles of pizza, even though I usually lean towards the thin crust style.
Okay. Any other pizza hot takes before we go into how you make a pizza?
Pizza hot takes. I think anybody who's on the food channel on Star Wars Slack will know that I love some black olives on pizza, which is a pretty polarizing topic right up there with pineapple. I don't know. I just love it. My favorite combination is black olives and pepperoni. And I feel like if you're going for pizza and you have the salty cheese, the salty pepperoni and some salty briny black olives, you're just like in salt heaven right there. And that's my favorite combination of all time for a pizza.
That's so funny. I think olives are probably whether they're black olives or the other color, that is like the one pizza topping that will completely ruin like of the traditional pizza toppings. Like I normally love to get like a supreme, you know, something with everything. I mean, I don't like anchovies either, but that's, you know, that's not an assumption, but yeah, like I always have to double check to make sure that the supreme pizza doesn't come with olives on it.
All right. Well, that's just more olives for me.
but if it happens, I can, you know, luckily you can usually pick them off. Sometimes they leave a little bit of flavor behind that I don't love. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, you're making my mouth water.
All right. So now we're past the part of the recipe article that you scroll down because it talks about everybody's life story, and now we're getting to the real recipe. So take us through your process for making a pizza.
My process, I have a couple of different pizzas that I'll make when I'm deciding to make pizza at home. I like to do sheet pan pizzas. I like to do Trenton style thin crust for like a tomato pie. I have a recipe for a 1 hour pizza. So I don't know. I have a lot of different recipes, but they basically, most of them come down to the same thing, which is me deciding I want to make some pizza. So either the morning of or the night before, I'll get out my stand mixer, pull up a recipe, and mix some flour and some water and whatever else, salt, yeast, maybe a little bit of sugar, and then leave the dough to ferment overnight in the fridge and get a little bit of rise, get the yeast going, and the next day or that evening, whatever, is pizza night. So I don't have a set recipe that I follow necessarily. It's usually what type of pizza am I in the mood for. Some of them I like to make further in advance to get a better flavor to the dough. But yeah, I've got, I don't know, maybe four different recipes that I'll go to.
Okay.
Something in that ballpark.
So take us through one of them. So you make the dough in advance.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Along with the dough process, you're usually doing a little bit of folding, you know, get some good strength and, you know, some proteins building up strength inside the dough. So that way you get a good chew to it. Then I'll usually go with black olives and pepperoni, but sometimes we'll keep it plain. Sometimes we'll do just pepperoni. I usually make my own sauce too. I got two different sauce recipes. Depends on the style of pizza, but usually it's either uncooked or very lightly cooked tomato sauce, or for certain pizzas, I'll go with a pretty thick sauce that's been cooked down, and you know, it's a little thicker, a little chunkier. So I'll use that one for like a Detroit style pizza, for a Trenton style tomato pie. I use that one for sheet pan pizza, like I made the other day. That's like a more concentrated, heavier sauce.
Okay.
Whereas the other one, if I'm just making like maybe a New York style pizza, it's usually a little bit looser, not as cooked down, a little more, you know, a little more watery when you're making the sauce. And then that one, they still have a good flavor, but it's not as concentrated as a cooked down sauce.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we go cheese. I usually go, I don't have a whole lot of options at my grocer for a full fat mozzarella, but that's usually what I look for. Full fat mozzarella. I shred it myself. I would say I go not into extra cheese territory, but I don't shy away from using some cheese. And then I usually do toppings on top, because I know some people will do toppings and then cheese. I do the toppings on top because I like my toppings to get a little bit of crispness from the direct heat on them. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you're going pepperonis, I like my pepperonis crisping up, starting to cup up a little bit, little pools of pepperoni grease inside them.
I like that.
That's the sweet spot for me.
Okay. One of the things that happens when I try to make pizza, and I'm sure I do everything wrong. We won't go into that. But one of the struggles that I have, and not even just when I'm making it at home, but like when I go to the wrong restaurant, is I come out with it, you know, it comes out with like a bland flavor because it's literally just the, you know, the bread, the sauce, the and then the toppings. Do you do any like any additional seasoning, or is the flavor coming from the sauce?
I would say one of the things I've learned in general cooking more and more at home is that you have to, you want to season what you're cooking every step of the way. And you also want to taste every step of the way. Now I'm not going to like taste raw dough. I feel like the dough, you know, if you add a little bit of salt at the beginning, your dough is going to end up being, you know, pretty tasty. That's usually more about the texture anyway, mm-hmm. in my opinion. But the sauce, absolutely. I'm always like, starting low with the salt, because you can always add more salt. You can't take salt out. But, you know, I'll salt a couple different steps of the sauce making process, a little bit at the beginning, a little bit, maybe a little bit in the middle, and definitely some at the end when I'm tasting it to see if it's seasoned properly. Usually for my sauces, I do salt, some black pepper, oregano, maybe some fresh basil if I have it. That's about it. I don't put too much more. Oh, some red pepper flakes or something to give it a little bit of heat.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. I don't go any more than that. The key thing for me, though, is the salt. You want the right level of saltiness to your sauce. Otherwise, like you said, it probably is going to taste bland. Like, you don't want it just tasting like a wet tomato sitting on your dough. You want to have a little bit of flavor to it. So that's, to me, the sauce is the thing that you have to, you know, really pay attention to. Everything else, like the cheese, you know, cheese is going to taste like cheese. You could add, I think a pro move is to add a light sprinkle of salt after you cheese the pizza.
Okay.
What else? Yeah, I don't know. I would pay attention to the salt level of your sauce. I think that's probably key to making sure you get a good flavor out of a pizza. I think another key thing is getting your oven hot enough. So I use a pizza steel. I used to have a pizza stone, and I felt like it wasn't that good. Well, I didn't know it was the stone at first. When I first started making pizzas at home, I would use this pizza stone that was, I don't know, it was I got it from my parents, and they probably got it maybe 20 years ago or something. So it was old. I don't know how well it was made. And I just couldn't get good pizza to come out of my oven. I switched to the pizza steel, and probably that in combination with learning better techniques and finding better recipes, probably all that stuff kind of merged at the same time. And I felt like my pizza making started to turn around and really become, you know, satisfying things that I was happy to eat. But I think the pizza steel is key. You stick it in your oven, you turn your oven up as high as it'll go. For most people, that's 500 or 550. And you just let it go beyond just preheat, right? Usually your oven will beep or whatever when it's at the temperature you set it to. You don't just put the pizza in as soon as it beeps. You really need to let the pizza steel heat up and build up a lot of heat inside it. So when you put the pizza on it, the heat is transferred to the dough right away. It'll give you nice transfer through the whole pizza and give you like a well cooked bottom crust, which, you know, you want for structural support, for texture that tastes good. I think salting your sauce, getting your oven to the appropriate temperature, those are two big things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I definitely have had problems where I can't get the crust to cook to my liking. And I have a pizza stone, but yeah, I also have, we also have a 1,000-year-old oven that probably
just, that does. Yeah. It makes it a challenge for sure.
It definitely makes the kitchen warm. I don't know about the inside. That's actually, we barely use the oven anymore because it's so bad. And we got an air fryer. We can't air fryer a pizza really. Or you could if it probably was small enough. yeah. So, any other, so you took us through the whole, you know, the extended process. Are there any shortcuts or any other, you know, if somebody wanted to make a pizza, but, you know, maybe doesn't have all day to do it. Any shortcuts or tricks that you could use to get around, or do you feel like it's important to really take your time with it?
I mean, I think if you're, it's like most things, if you're really trying to get a good quality pizza out of it, then you have to put in the energy and the effort, right? Otherwise you're better off just ordering a pizza. Mm-hmm. One of the, cooking, in the cooking game, one of the personalities that I follow the most is Brian Lagerstrom, who is a YouTube personality. Although he's got a background, he was a baker and a chef. And so he's got a lot of experience that he's building on. But that's where I get most of my pizza recipes from, Brian Lagerstrom on YouTube. He has one recipe that really, a couple of years ago, is like what got me started in eventually making my own dough. He has a 1 hour pizza recipe. So if you want to be eating a homemade pizza within 1 hour, mm-hmm. you can use this recipe. I would recommend it. What it uses to kickstart the yeast growing and giving you a good edible piece of dough is that it uses like half a bottle of beer. Okay. So you mix that in along with your dough, and it gives you like a kind of a jump start to the fermentation process. And I've really found that recipe to be accessible. It was easy. A lot of times when I'm cooking at home, I'm kind of doing things spontaneously. Mm-hmm. A mood will strike. I decide that I want to eat something in particular, and that's what I'll try and cook, even if it means running out to the grocery and mm-hmm. picking up some stuff before I start cooking. But the idea of just going from nothing to a handmade pizza in 1 hour, I was like, okay, well, that sounds too good to be true. I tried it a couple times and I was like, okay, this is actually pretty, pretty good, especially for somebody like me, pretty amateur cook, have some experience cooking, but I hadn't really had a lot of baking experience at that point. So I would cheat a little bit in that I would get store-bought doughs, mm-hmm. Either like something preformed and par-baked, or a dough that I would just pick up from the store and, it was already mixed. It was ready to roll out and bake with. So those were the shortcuts that I would use, but I never really enjoyed the quality of pizza that came out by using those shortcuts. And then when I tried this 1 hour recipe, I was really blown away. I was like, okay, this is the start to, this is the gateway for me making my own dough from here on out.
Cool. All right, so I'm going to take you through my you've listened to my Star Wars interviews where I have a PIVO questionnaire. I have a food related PIVO questionnaire that I'm going to take you through and we'll see where it goes.
Let's do it.
What is your favorite food?
Cheesesteak.
What is your least favorite food?
I don't know if I have a least favorite food. I guess I don't really like the idea of eating octopus. Okay. I feel like I don't want to eat an animal that is potentially smarter than I am.
Okay. What's an ingredient that you love to cook with?
Citrus.
Okay. What's a food that you can't quite figure out?
As in making, or do I have to interpret this? Do I have to figure out how to interpret
this? Well, my intention for this one is in the context of cooking, like something that you've tried to cook that you haven't been able to pull off.
One that was a white whale for me until recently was this Basque cheesecake, which is like a crustless cheesecake. You just combine everything and then bake it, and then the outside that takes on the most heat becomes the crust. Mm-hmm. And I had a really, really bad attempt with it not too long, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was very intimidated to try it again. And then for the Super Bowl this year, I ended up making it. It came out really good. So for a while it was cheesecake. I can't say that I've conquered that one yet, 'cause I've only had one successful result, but it might be cheesecake.
Yeah. You just triggered a memory for me growing up. And this is probably why I have this question on the list, and I'm the same way, but growing up, my dad would get fixated on trying to learn how to make a particular food. Like in particular, I remember we went to a wedding and the cake was really good, and he was trying to figure out how to make the perfect like white wedding cake. I don't think he ever made it from scratch, but which I'm sure that wedding cake was probably not from scratch either, the way that I hear how cake bakeries work. But like he tried like every single boxed recipe, you know, over the course. It was like once we had like a cake every week for like 2 months, but he had this.
Yeah.
He had
you're like, come on, Dad, no more cake. I'm getting tired of this.
Yeah. I did not say that. No, but he had this, but, and I'm pretty sure that he did that with cheesecake as well. Like he really struggled to make a cheesecake. And then eventually I think my sister figured it out. Like, you know, they found a good recipe or something. Cause they make it
good. Sometimes now. Good. Sorry. I was just going to say, I needed a closure to that story.
Oh yeah. 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 Very, very important. What's your go-to curse word when you make a mistake in the kitchen?
That's tough. Cause now I have a 5-year-old around. So I try not to, if I had to, I'll drop a shit if I have to. You know, things aren't going well, or you put in twice the measurement of something, you ruined whatever recipe you're working on. That's just an aw shit moment.
My dad always makes fun of me because when I was like in like fifth grade or something, I was making myself oatmeal, and it said 2/3 cup water, and I thought it said 2 to 3 cups water.
Those are probably some soggy oats.
Yeah. Well, and then I like overcorrected. Like it was a mess. What's a dish that you love when others make it for you?
I think salads. I try to make myself salads, so just so I can eat healthier, because you know, I've already mentioned pizza and cheesesteak and cheesecake as all kinds of things that I like to eat, so I try to mix in some salads every now and then, but I enjoy salad so much more when somebody hands it to me, right? And I don't have to mix all that stuff up myself.
What's a dish that you only trust yourself to make?
I don't know. I don't feel like I'm that good at making anything. Vegetable dishes, just like a side of vegetables, because I love my vegetables. I like to actually taste the vegetables. So my go-to for almost any vegetable is to just roast it, toss it with some olive oil, some salt, a little bit of pepper, and roast it, and just get some, you know, caramelized char on the outside of it and fresh vegetable taste on the inside of it. So if we're putting together a meal, like a lot of times my family will do, you know, kind of like potluck style, everybody brings a piece of a component of the larger meal, and I will usually try to claim some type of vegetable, because that's how I like to eat my vegetables, is just roasted, plain and simple.
When I go to a potluck, I usually try to avoid having to bring anything, because whenever I bring something, nobody eats it.
All right, well, we can get you hooked up with some recipes next time you have a potluck. Let me know.
Well, it's not a matter of, in my experience, it's not a matter of the food I'm bringing not being good. It's just that there's always like, you know,
so many
17
things.
Different things, and
yeah,
you know, I mean, one of the last family potlucks that I went to, my job was to bring a tripod for the camera. And then somebody else brought the tripod and I didn't need it. Like,
what a bummer.
I just can't, you know, inevitably, like if it's my job to make the mashed potatoes, somebody else makes mashed potatoes and they're better. Or if it's my, or if I'm making the green bean casserole, there's 7 other green bean casseroles. Although I wish I'd brought green bean casserole to that event, because there were 7 different green bean casseroles and all of them were terrible.
Ooh, that's a bad green bean casserole is not a dish I want to be
eating. I don't understand how you make a bad green bean casserole, but they proved me wrong. It's just cream of mushroom soup and green beans and a little bit of milk and the onion things on top, like
the crispy onions.
You can't get it wrong.
No,
one of them was made with mayonnaise. What's a dish that, given the right pay and hours, you'd be happy to make as a career?
Oh, we'll stick with the two that we've already talked about, pizza and cheesesteaks. I will sometimes go down a YouTube hole, rabbit hole of just watching people like line cooks making mm-hmm. cheesesteaks at the, you know, the more famous Philly spots. I could just watch people do that for, I don't know, hours on end. And I do think it would be fun. Yeah. Pizza too. I think it would be good practice, certainly. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that would take away from, I don't know, the dollar component for pizzas might have to be pretty high, because then what would I make for myself when I come home from work, right? I don't want to make another pizza.
Right. What's a dish that you would only ever want to make for yourself, friends, and family?
A steak on the grill. I don't know. I think there's something nice about getting everybody together and cooking a steak out on the grill, like the social aspect of it. We'll go with that.
Yeah, I was talking to my wife because we were frustrated about, we tried to make hamburgers on the grill the other day, and as always, they didn't come out very good. That's my what food I can't quite get right is hamburgers.
Burgers. Okay.
It's a whole thing. But I was like, so what, you know, I was like trying to think like what, you know, what food can I actually cook that is comparable to like like what you would get at a restaurant? And I can make a passable steak.
Mm-hmm. I've seen your pictures of steak. Sometimes I'm like, man, I should make steak tomorrow.
The nice thing about steak is it's one of the only like from scratch foods that like if you buy a good enough one, it's as long as you don't, you know, burn it or like have it be frozen in the middle or something, it's going to come out pretty good.
It's
like,
going to be good.
Even if you don't season it very well, like the actual flavor of the steak, you know, comes together. All right. And finally, if time, money, and geography didn't matter, what would you have for dinner tonight?
All right. There's a place in Philly that I've been dying to try. And I just don't get into Philly often enough. Hold on. I want to get the name right. It's called Little Sicily Pizza 2. I don't know if there's a Little Sicily Pizza 1 or what's going on with it. But it's in Philly. It is a pizza and cheesesteak spot. But the twist is that it is there's like a side menu that incorporates all kinds of Indian ingredients.
Okay.
So you can get a spicy Indian flavored cheesesteak or chicken cheesesteak. Or they also have a spicy Indian pizza, which I've got it up here. It's onion, jalapeno, cilantro. And then you either get spicy chicken or spicy paneer.
Interesting.
They also have masala seasoned fries. So I've heard of this place recently. I've seen pictures of it. It looks amazing. I just haven't been able to get into Philly. But if I could be eating anything right now, tonight, it would be this spicy, probably one of everything off their menu, spicy Indian cheesesteak, some spicy chicken Indian pizza, and some masala seasoned fries.
All right.
And then I'd go sleep for like 12 hours.
Yeah, I should add calories to that caveat. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for coming on, Greg. We'll have the I'll get that that 1 hour pizza recipe and put it in the show notes.
I will I'd be happy to send it to you. I'll grab the link right now. This was fun. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Kendall. A lot. This podcast is a production of the KendallCast Podcast Network. You can support the show for just $2 a month at patreon.com/KendallCast or make a direct donation through the PayPal link at KendallCast.ninja. Every little bit helps.